Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite lorecast on the Citadel.
Welcome to the Mass Effect Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the vast lore behind the Mass Effect games. Welcome back to the Mass Effect Lorecast. This is Tom. I'm here with Sam and a bunch of our patrons because it is, again, another month has gone by. It is again time for a patron chat. And Sam and I are excited to talk with our patrons about their perspective. Their perspective on religion in Mass Effect. And I'm interested to see where this goes. This is kind of, I don't know, this is something I'm pretty familiar with. Again, I have a degree in religious studies and also philosophy, and a lot of those things do play into some of the different cultures. So I'm excited to see where this goes. Sam, are you excited about this? Do you know much about this topic? Because it feels like one of those kind of side topics, right? Sam just woke up, by the way. Welcome.
I was just communing with the gods. So I can't wait to talk about religion in the Mass Effect universe. It displays itself in a variety of ways. And so I can't wait to hear what our patrons here have to say.
Yeah. So here, well, I'm just going to read out everybody's names. We've got kind of a full house again. We have Magister DeVita, Ed Boy, Genesis, Scott, and Turbo Toboggan joining, and maybe some other people who can pop in here once they restart their PCs or whatever they need to do. And let's just get into it. I thought this was an interesting one. It got a lot of votes. It seems like it's something all of you are very interested in. Who would like to start us out? Who has some thoughts on religion or a specific race and the way they handle religion or their own personal philosophies? And I think there might be some fuzzy edges around this stuff. We don't only have to talk about like worshiping a deity. We can talk about tangentially related concepts like morality or lifestyle decisions that are based on beliefs of their culture and those kinds of things. Who would like to kick us off? Does anybody have any like initial thoughts? I saw Jen's hand first. I saw Scott unmute. I'm going to go with the hand first. Jen, kick us off. What do you think?
So my favorite religion in this game, and I guess it's just a true moment, is when Thane and Kolyat and Shepard in Mass Effect 3 read one of Thane's prayers from his prayer book. To me, it was one of the most impactful scenes that had a religious overtone to it, but it just was really, really touching. And especially, I mean, as a female shepherd, if you've romanced Thane, it's even more heartfelt. But even as a bro shep who didn't, or as a female shepherd who didn't romance Thane, you still feel the weight and the impact of it as you are reading a prayer with his son and you together.
Yeah, so I'm trying to look this up real quick so we can get the actual words. I don't know if anybody else...
Them.
Oh, do you have them? Okay. Do you want to read it for us?
Oh, reading the Thane prayer. Okay.
Yeah, because I think it'll be more fun to actually discuss it in detail for everybody to hear it and be reminded of it again.
Kalahira, mistress of inscrutable depths, I ask forgiveness. Kalahira, whose waves wear down stone and sand. Kalahira, wash the sins from this one and set her on the distant shore of the infinite spirit. Kalahira, this one's heart is pure, but beset by wickedness and contention. Guide this one to where the traveler never tires, the lover never leaves, the hungry never starve. Guide this one, Kalahira, and she will be a companion to you as she was to me.
Very nice. Very nice reading. Namen. So in Monty Python, they say namen in the Holy Grail. Anyway, it's one of those jokes that always comes.
We can just say ramen.
Ramen. Do you think, so this raises certain thoughts in my mind, having studied a lot of these kinds of concepts and things. Does this resonate with you for the personal level of it? Or one of the things I notice in this is there are aspects of dualism. There's aspects of a place you go where things are more perfect. There are a lot of similarities to what Thane seems to believe as to what a lot of human beings seem to believe. And does that affect and resonate with you on that level? Or is it more of just, this is a very personal moment?
A little bit of both. It is a very personal moment because, spoiler alert, this is the scene where Thane officially dies. And this is his final gift to you, is this prayer of salvation for your soul, not for his own.
Mm-hmm.
It resonates. And I think that it's, especially when I'm thinking of it as it being read to Shepherd, even if you're going like a pure renegade Shepherd, you know, this one's heart is pure, but is beset by wickedness. So there's all this going on around you for a Paragon Shepherd as well, all of this wickedness is going on around you. The Reapers are attacking. You've got, you know, fighting on your ship going on. There's all of this going on around you, but you still try to maintain a pure heart with the idea of what my end goal is for the greater good.
Mm-hmm.
Not
giving into the struggle, the darkness out there that's trying to consume you and fighting back against it, that kind of theme.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's open this up. Who else has thoughts on this? Or Sam, do you have thoughts?
I actually wanted to mention that I believe Thane is somewhat unusual for his religious beliefs. So before we prescribe this to all of Drell, like, this could just be a Thane thing. Because if you listen to the language of that prayer, then I believe you hear something about Kalahira, mistress of inscrutable depths, obviously meaning the ocean. So this prayer could be referencing what he's learned from Hanar culture.
Interesting. I hadn't thought about that. I know the Hanar are religious as well. I wonder if this is something he picked up from them. Interesting. I'm going to look this up. Who else has thoughts while I look this up? Anybody else have thoughts? Anybody else remember this scenario? Did it hit you in a certain way? Scott, I saw your hand. Magister's shaking his head. Scott, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good one. I think, you know, it's one of those touching moments because Koliat and Thane are kind of like have just barely reconnected, right? And made amends. And when Koliat starts to pray, Thane says something to him about you pray like the priests do or something like that. So there's also this beautiful, like, it's a way for Koliat and Thane to have a connection despite years of sort of being apart. They find this kind of common thing, which I think is also a really cool like element to it as well. So I think it is, you know, that not all Drell have this, but it sounds like there's at least a sect of them that do. And so somehow Koliat has found that and it's bringing him comfort, whereas before he was just very jaded about his dad. So I think that's a really beautiful thing. And I think it even kind of comes back in the Citadel DLC. You have the funeral for Thane, which is like the one not like party moment in the midst of that whole DLC. And it's a really kind of, I think Koliat kind of leans into that there too. So there is this kind of like this prayer that's outside of just Thane doing it. That's kind of nice.
Yeah. Magister, you had some thoughts as well.
I did. I had thoughts in regards to, well, two parts. One was the whole ocean and water metaphors that are going on there. And the fact that, like, things people coming from, like, almost a, like, toward the end there of his, before they were rescued, it was like a barren planet by that point, right?
Correct. The planet Rakana's ecology was dying when the Drell were rescued by the Hanar.
So a bit of an irony, the having a religion more based on water or ocean or the depths of everything. Feel like that adds to a bit of a dynamic there. And also the fact that there was an actual ritual burial rites in Mass Effect. Like you have, especially in Mass Effect 3, where you have like all these people like dying left and right, the hopelessness of it all, but you have this just one quiet moment where one of your party members, whether you were romancing them or not romancing them, just having this peaceful moment where you get to send him off to the distant shore, as well as him giving you comfort in that time. It was really interesting to see that in an actual video game, especially in that time frame back then.
I like the way you stated that. It's like a moment of meaning amidst meaninglessness, the suffering and death and all of these terrible things. And yet, and it's one of the things that we as humans do. We use moments like that to almost grasp back meaning into our lives. Like this death meant something amidst all the chaos and the nonsense out there. This still means something. We still have a direction. We still have a focus. We still have a memory, all of these things, there's still meaning here. And that is such a deep seated human thing. And I think that's really cool. I found on the N7 World website a description of the Drell that talks about Kalahira, the goddess that he mentions, and two other gods, and a little bit of a description about their religion. And I'm not sure if they're just drawing this from Thane himself or if this is for all Drell and somehow they have some other reference to confirm this.
Well, this is N7 World, for those who don't know, is the Mass Effect 5e website for if you wanted to run a homebrew D&D campaign. As far as I know, almost everything on that website is canon. They do take a little bit of artistic license with it and extrapolate a little bit further in some regards, but I'm not sure in this regard, so why don't you go ahead?
So I don't know. They say most Drell are deeply religious, and I don't know if they're just drawing assumptions based on Thane, because we don't have too many examples of this, or if they have some source to confirm that. I'm not sure. Believing that they have souls separate from their bodies, they see death as a departure from the body, and they also state that a person's body and soul form a whole. So it's dualist. A lot of humans believe this, that we are both body and spirit or soul or something like that. When the soul is traumatized or otherwise disrupted, or the body is ill or injured, a person is no longer whole. And that has a capital W. They also believe that their body can be directed as a separate entity from themselves. Thus, some Drell take no responsibility when executing an order given by the Hanar, even if the order is an assassination. The religion includes at least three gods, which Drell often pray to for guidance and protection. Amon-Kira, Lord of Hunters, Arashu, Goddess of Motherhood and Protection, and Kalahira, Goddess of the Oceans and Afterlife. And this is a thing that you see in a lot of these ancient religions, is the combination of things. This goddess is both the ocean and the afterlife. And I would assume that probably meant that if they don't do it now, that they used to bury their dead at sea. They used to send their dead to the afterlife, which was connected to the ocean, and the ocean being deep and under and dark and those kinds of things. So that's pretty cool. It's pretty cool stuff. All right.
Well, I do want to jump in about that, because it does sound like the writers of that website were taking most of those details from our conversations with Thane specifically. So I don't know how much we can extrapolate that this is a wider, religion that a majority of Drell might believe. That being said, we know that Rakana the Drell homeworld is an arid homeworld. And there's massive plains. So I don't think that there's really much of an ocean on that planet, not from what I remember from the planet's description. And that's actually the difference between the climate in Rakana and Kaje, the Hanar homeworld, is part of the reason why Thane suffers from Kepril syndrome. The difference in the humidity, I think, if I'm remembering right.
Yeah.
So it's his direct reference to so many different ocean deities is really interesting to me. But I also wanted to ask our patrons how they feel about Thane's stated ideology of separating the spirit from the body to such an extent that he would absolve himself of all guilt of his own actions when employed by the Hanar.
Everybody's thinking. I have to fill the gap and give you guys a moment to think. Genesis, do you have thoughts on this?
I think it's really, really interesting to be put in that mindset where I wouldn't be held accountable for my actions because I'm just following orders. This is what you told me to do. And whether I believe it was morally right or wrong, it is the orders that I was given. And therefore my body is following this order, but that sin is not on my soul. I mean,
right. I don't know if that defense would hold up in court.
but I think in this case, they're not so much worried about the courtroom situation as they are about their afterlife or their being right with their God or those kinds of things. And I can't think of any specific analogies here, but I'm pretty sure that you can find analogies both in early American history with slaves having to do things directed by their masters that went against their beliefs, and also ancient Hebrews, because there was slavery back in biblical times. I think there are probably similarities there in justifying the things that they were told to do and that they had no choice over, with still maintaining some sort of uprightness with their spiritual beliefs.
But it's interesting you bring up the word slave, because that's something that Shepard can say to Thane, and then Thane basically counters with, "Don't insult me, Shepard. The Drell are not Thane to the Hanar." And so he very much is very assertive that the Drell maintain their autonomy. But in terms of his ideology specifically, I'm most interested by the fact that, you know, if you have a Paragon ship, you can press and say, "What, you don't take personal responsibility for anything?"
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's not exactly the same thing. It's not a perfect analogy. But I don't know. There are a lot of justifications people make in order to still feel like they're standing upright with their belief system, even though they might be doing things against it. People like that is a very human thing to do, is to kind of twist that in ways. Scott.
Yeah, I think I struggle with that. And I think one of the reasons is, like, so my undergraduate university was a Catholic university, and I am not Catholic, but I would watch people go to confession, right, that I was friends with, and they would tell the priest all the stuff that they did. And the priest would say, you know, "Okay, we'll say this many Hail Marys and do this, and then you're good." And then they would just do the same stuff the next week, and then repeat, right, go to confession. And it was kind of like, I was like, what's the point? Like, that's not how this was supposed to work. Right. And so I think that's kind of the frustration I sense with this thing with Thane, is it's like, I would probably be the one that pushes him. Like, no, like, you can't, you're still consciously in charge of your body, whether you're trying to detach your soul from it, you know, and its actions. Like, so, I think the difference is, though, something that I don't understand is that, you know, Drell, right, remember everything they've ever done. So I can also think that Thane would have to rationalize it that way, because he can go back and relive all those things, as he does right in front of us, right, all the time. And so maybe he's rationalizing it in this way, because otherwise he's afraid of what it'll be like when he goes back and remembers those moments, if he remembers those moments.
Yeah.
But for me, it feels very much in that vein of, like, well, I'll just say that I'm sorry and it's all forgiven and we move on without any actual accountability for what you've done.
Right.
And my opinion is, you can't do that. That's not how it's supposed to work.
Right. Yeah. No, you make a good point. Everybody has to psychologically deal with the things they feel regretful about in some way. And there are healthier ways to do that, and there are less healthy ways to do that, for sure. Yeah. All right. I'm not sure that there's enough topics here for everybody to kind of bring their own thing. So feel free to chime in if you don't have a thing, but you want to just chime in on other people's topics and things like that. But Jen, thank you so much for this. This is a really great way to start this off. Scott, you said you raised your hand. You said that you had a topic you wanted to bring up. What were you thinking about sharing?
Well, it kind of builds off something that Sam said in the Ilos episode, right? Which is how much have the Protheans influenced the religion of those who follow them? Because, you know, thinking about, yeah, there's that text thing we get about them observing, you know, Cro-Magnons. We know that they influence the Asari. We know they influence the Hanar. You know, it just seems like for everyone, they're there meddling and at the same time creating their religion. And so it's kind of one of those things where, you know, I don't know about, you know, obviously as much about like the Asari religions and how those developed, but I think about Earth, you know, and I think about like ancient Egypt, you know, more polytheistic, you know, things with like, they talk about like seeing things in the sky, you know, all that stuff that you see on Ancient Aliens. And so, you know, I don't really know. I'm not so sure that I could see how that maybe would affect Christianity, or Islam or things necessarily.
Well, there are parts of the Old Testament for sure that where people are seeing things in the sky and they're calling them angels and things like that.
That's not. Yeah. So I just think it's interesting. Like, though, if you're looking at the Mass Effect universe, it seems like the Protheans maybe unintentionally or intentionally created kind of these religious cults, you know, just by their meddling in the galaxy. And I find that really kind of fascinating as we look at the world in that we live and thinking about that, like, is there life in the universe? If it has been here, has that infected, you know, our religious stuff? So I kind of thought that was interesting, especially given what happens with like our conversations with Ashley right out the gate, where she's like, I believe, don't you get on me about it, you know? And even like Suvi and Andromeda goes pretty hard on, you know, still being Christian. So I think that's kind of interesting given the ever expanding world that we learn about.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing to think about, because we don't have a definitive answer or not, but I would speculate that any primitive culture that sees advanced enough technology would try to explain it as some sort of magic or god or something like that, because they have no way of understanding it. Who's the scientist that basically said, like, I forget the quote. Any sufficiently advanced technology would appear like magic to a primitive culture or something like that. I'm paraphrasing. But yeah, like, absolutely. That could be the origins of so many things. And we just don't know. We just don't know. Who else wants to chime in on this one? Who wants to talk about ancient aliens, or at least the Protheans, affecting religion? Do you think that that's a possibility? Do you think that in Mass Effect, that's a possibility, even for the Earthlings, even for people who still believe something? In that time, I'm seeing nodding of heads. I'm seeing some head nodding. Ed?
Well, isn't this kind of something that's brought up in Mass Effect 1 with the consult's medallion she gives you? Like, you have that vision of like a Prothean interacting with all the humanity.
Yeah, there's.
I don't know how that would affect religion, but.
Right. I think that the seeds are definitely there that they've planted in the lore. Like we talked about last week, that that Elitania vision with the Cro-Magnon Hunter, the fact that we have evidence they were monitoring humanity from Mars. I think that there's strong evidence to suggest that Protheans led to spiritual or religious beliefs among both humans and Asari. And this is also why you got to bring Javik with you when you go to the Thessia mission in Mass Effect 3, because the dialogue between him and Liara is just amazing when you're in the temple, and it sheds a lot of insight as to what we're talking about here.
There were some questions people have had about, like, I don't know how that would have affected like our world religions, like Christianity or Islam or those kinds of things. So real brief, I'll give you an explanation to kind of make that make sense. Islam is also based on certain books that are included in Christianity, like the New Testament and the Old Testament. Christianity is based on the New Testament and the Old Testament, right? Judaism is based on the Old Testament and then the Talmud and some other books that came after that. In all of these things go back to the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, you have, for example, the seeing of wonders in the sky. This happens during Jesus's birth. This happens for prophets like Elisha and Elijah. There's a number of different times where there is some sort of sign in the sky, whether that's a comet or maybe an angel or whatever they're describing it as in those books. The reason why that's important is because it's a confirmation of belief. It is often in a situation where the character is in some sort of prayer state or seeking a sign from God that they are doing the right thing or something like that. And a sign in the sky like that is confirmation to them that their faith is true and that they are being heard. And it can be more than that, but even if it's just that, that solidifies and becomes a thing that people share and that spreads. Oh, there was a sign that our God is the true God, all of these things. And if you go back to the ancient world, the original God of the Hebrews was one of many gods in the ancient world. All of the different tribes, all the different groups had their own beliefs and their own specific gods. And to say that, well, my God actually sent me a sign and there was a star in the sky is proof that you would use against your neighbor to show that your God is more powerful than their God. So a lot of these things create the bones of what eventually evolved into our modern day religious beliefs. So, yes,
my dad can beat up your dad.
It's a lot of my dad would beat up your dad. Even in a polytheistic religion, even among, say, the Egyptians or the Greeks, you would typically, and this still happens in Hinduism, you pick certain deities that you align more with. Or if you're Catholic, you pray to certain saints. And to say that the one that you align with happens to be responding in more loving to their followers or whatever is something that you would use in order to justify your beliefs and your actions. So all of that stuff echoes throughout history and becomes our modern day religions and eventually the religions that people believe in Mass Effect among the humans. So quick little
Scott, you also brought up Ashley being very, you know, having a chip on her shoulder about religion from the second that we meet her. And I found that to be interesting because in sci-fi, it has become somewhat of a trope that God doesn't exist. And if you believe in him, you're dumb as hell. That it's just so overplayed at this point in sci-fi. So I found it interesting in 2007 when I was playing through this that Ashley is this staunch believer in God. And she's not like zealous about it to that extent, but she does have a chip on her shoulder about having been called dumb and things like that, that we are used to in, you know, sci-fi media about this. So I wanted to ask our patrons how you perceived Ashley's defense of her religion when we got to Mass Effect.
231. That's the average number of apps used by many companies. This leads to a lot of context and tab switching that drains employee focus and costs your company. Grammarly can help. Grammarly's AI works in over 500,000 apps and websites, making it easy for your team to write clearly and on brand without disrupting workflow. Join 70,000 teams who save an average of $5,000 per employee per year using Grammarly. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
I saw Magister unmute first. I don't know who else was. I know, Ed, you want to chime in too, but Magister, go ahead, and then we'll jump over to Ed.
Okay. I found it refreshing. Like you said, it oftentimes whenever it's like a spacefarer, space fantasy, is either its own religion, like the Force or the Voice or whatever else, and not really like the originals or something that came from the original planet or something like that. So, and I believe that Yuri Shepherd could also like quote a scripture back to her, which I found really I thought that was pretty cool to have that, like, this moment of bonding there. Like, yes, we're literally in the middle of space, and we work with people that can throw powers across the sky. But yeah, I still believe in my faith, and it's important to me. I thought that was pretty a refreshing take from Ashley.
Never an atheist in a foxhole is, I believe, what Shepard says. And that applies to Thane as well, because he's very much in a foxhole, right? That he is battling this illness. And but all right, I'll open it up to anyone else who wanted to chime in.
Ed wanted to chime in too. Ed, what were you thinking?
So Ashley still believing in God is actually something I thought about, in real life, like she used to say, like, God didn't create all these other species, like possible alien species that could be living out there. So, I mean, I don't think Ashley's crazy for still believing in a God in this future sci-fi space, because he couldn't say if he really did or didn't create, like, all these different aliens.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how I would have to wonder in our own future how traditional religion actually, you know, survives or changes if and when we meet other species out there. You know, like, how is that actually going to work? I also agree with Sam. Oftentimes in sci-fi movies and games, you have religion and science, and they're at these opposite poles, and they're just, like, so extremely far away from each other. But that doesn't create an interesting story to me. Like, that's fine if the scientists don't believe in a God and if the religious don't fully invest in science because they're still holding on to something else. That, whatever. It's more interesting to go, well, what's the middle thing? Right? Like, what, we're traveling across space faster than light, and, like Magister is saying, biotic powers and all of these other things. But what does that actually mean for somebody who has faith and tries to actually combine the two? That becomes the more interesting story, in my perspective. Not that I'm saying what I personally believe or not. I just think that makes for better storytelling. That's just interesting to me. Anybody else want to chime in on this topic? Scott?
Yeah, I mean, I think I like that they have Suvi be the scientist who is the faithful person, right, in Andromeda, because it kind of goes straight into the trope of science and religion and combines them in one. But Ashley's more defensive, I think, of her faith than Suvi is. And I think it's interesting, you know, knowing that Christianity still exists on Earth. You know, I mean, we know Cerberus, like, assassinates a pope, right? Right, like, because right. They don't like that the pope's too liberal. There's nothing there. You know, so, like, it's still influential enough. There's still enough people that seem to subscribe to it that it's not like Ashley's necessarily in a tiny minority. But I wonder, being in the military, if she is in more of a minority there. But I think it is too, when you look at a universe, you know, you're thinking about the First Contact War. I wonder what that was like, you know, for her family being faithful. Like, was that the only comfort they had in the midst of the chaos? You know, like, oh crap, well, let's figure out the one thing we have to kind of lean on. So I don't hate that she defends it. I like that she defends it. I, you know, I think it's a video game, so nothing's perfect. The dialogue's never great, but they do a pretty good job of it. So I think it's nice to throw it in there, at least, because it leads to interesting character development. So
Yeah, I think that the middle stuff is way more interesting, how that plays out and how people justify it, and all that makes a better story in my mind. Ranger joined us as well. Ranger, do you have any thoughts on any of this? Do you want to chime in? I don't want to miss out on getting your thoughts on this. If you want to take a minute and think about it and then chime in when you're ready, you can do that. Yeah, I kind of put you on the spot.
I had a lot of stuff I had planned to say.
Well, tell you what, you take a minute. We'll go thank our patrons and then we'll come back and we'll get back to Ranger. And Ranger's going to tell us some of his thoughts on this. So don't go anywhere.
Message coming in. Patching it through.
I am sovereign and this
Lorecast
is mine. I like the sound of that.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. We have to thank all our patrons. Thank you for being here, patrons. And thank you to all the rest of our patrons on patreon.com/MassEffectLorecast. And Sam, we got a brand new patron who has maybe my favorite name so far. Our newest patron goes by the name Batarian Buttshot.
Wow. I didn't see that. That's incredible.
Yes. Thank you for signing up. We're so glad that you are here. Batarian Buttshot. Also, we have to shout out our Shepherd tier patrons, Ed Boy, Kirisi, Lieutenant Tosino, and William. Thank you so much for your support as well. Head over to Mass Effect on Patreon. Go check everything out if you want to help out the show. If we're helping you get through your workday or your commute or your workout or mowing your lawn because it's springtime and the summer's almost here, then, you know, go check it out. Maybe you'll find some stuff you like. Also, you can leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, like this one from XX Silent Evil 06XX. From the United States, he writes, "Big dumb jellyfish. Liara, that's all I have to say. All jokes aside, I found this podcast when I was going through a dark time in my life and just got done with the Mass Effect Legendary Edition, but didn't want my adventure to end. So I found you guys and I fell in love with the podcast immediately. Anyway, I hate texting with a passion, so I'll say one more thing. Sam and Tom are pretty cool dudes. Keela Salai." Thanks so much, Silent Evil. Also, if you want to leave a 5-star review on Spotify or any other platform, you can do that as well. All of that stuff is helpful. And if you leave a 5-star review on our podcast, we'll read it out on a future episode of the show. So lots of fun ways you can interact and help us out, and we would really appreciate it. So thanks for everything, everybody. Thanks for being here. Let's move on with the conversation. Here we go.
Spit it out, or are you trying to build suspense?
You're so dense, sir. Obviously, I do not know as much about human relationships as I thought.
All right, we're back. Ranger, do you feel like you're ready to go? You can give me a thumbs up if you want some more time to think. He's getting a shrug. I'm getting a shrug here.
No, I think I know why I'm having such a hard time with this topic, and it's possibly because I'm not that big of a religious person per se.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever religion is thrown into a video game such as Mass Effect, you know, it's a nice thing to see, in my opinion.
And why is that? Why do you find it, as a not particularly religious person, why do you find that that's actually an appealing thing?
I want to say it shows the side of me that, you know, that's still there, but, you know, I shoved down deep, you know, like, hey, get out of here type of thing.
Okay. All right. So it kind of opens up a topic and a focus in you that you normally don't engage with.
Yeah,
that's what I'm hearing. Yeah, yeah. And you know, to your point, there's a wide spectrum of types of religiousness that happens. You have somebody like Ashley who seems to be, like Sam said, Judeo-Christian, very traditional earth religion. You have Asari who are more pantheistic, and we were discussing this in the patron chat ahead of time. It's kind of like the Force, this idea that like everything is connected to God, we're all part of God, we're all inside God. If you were to imagine that the entire universe and everything throughout all time are all pieces of God is not separate, he's not at a distance. But also a pantheistic belief generally ascribes to this idea that God is also not very personal. It's more of a God is a force of nature kind of thing, and we're all a piece of the divine here in this reality, seeing it from our own perspective. So you have this wide spectrum across that. Does that engage with you in a way where you just start thinking?
Yeah,
more?
I mean, I do like to see like the various other types of religion. Like you were saying, like, you know, if I'm watching Star Wars, you know, seeing the Force be used, you know, that's obviously, you know, a galaxy far, far away's religion.
Yeah.
You know, heck, I'm a huge Star Trek fan. And in that, you know, just like with Mass Effect, you know, they have all these different aliens and they all have their own religion. And it's nice to see, you know, a melting pot come together, pretty much.
Right.
Of all these different religious views.
Right. And so what I'm actually hearing from you here is it's more engaging to see that different peoples, different races, different whoever's have some. It's more of like the will or the seriousness with which they engage with their world through that faith that's appealing. And there's, even though they're different and they don't necessarily all agree, that's not what matters. What matters is that it means something to them and it motivates them in their own lives, and that you find that engaging.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool.
Thank you, Tom.
You're welcome. I mean, I was kind of reading between the lines there, but I feel like that's what you were getting at.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Sam, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, I think it's interesting that we have this wide breadth of religions displayed, or religions and spirituality. That's really what we should have been saying this whole episode, because some of them really don't categorize into the neatly defined category of religion. But there's this very wide spectrum of how they present in Mass Effect. And yet, if you pay close attention to the community's reaction, people are far more accepting and on average, they're far more accepting and approving and willing to understand when we hear from people like Thane, or when we hear, you know, by the goddess, and we learn a little bit about a Thane in Asari, you know, mythology, than they are when they talk to Ashley. Because at least for me, and I've been active on forums for quite a while now for Mass Effect, by and large, the default answer, and this could just be because it's a very loud vocal minority, but the loudest voice is often "go to hell."
Like, wait, on the internet? Ashley, on internet forums?
Yeah. Ashley, go to hell. Yeah. Thane, you're our special boy. You keep doing it.
Right. We do have this thing where we tend to, push down what appears to be a majority belief and raise minority beliefs. Like, there's a thing in our culture where we tend to do that. It's kind of like a balance thing. I wonder if that plays into it, or if people are just angry. That's probably what
I think
is.
It's a human thing. Yeah. I honestly think it's a human thing, because we also see it in the game with how racism is portrayed, not just from Ashley, but other human characters. Racism and xenophobia, unacceptable when humans practice it. But when it's espoused by aliens like Garrus or Rex, there are special boys. Right. We couldn't.
Because we see them as a minority, even if they aren't really a minority. But we're all seeing it from the human perspective, where humans are actually the minority in this situation. But yeah. That's it. That is interesting. All right. Let's we've got a little while still left for the show. Who else wants to chime in, has a specific topic they wanted to bring, or a perspective, or whatever? Magister, I saw your thing.
I was also interested, religion-wise, well, religion spiritualness of it, of the Quarians' belief, because they don't really espouse like fully like what's a god or goddess, but it feels a lot more about like more of a place, the spirituality of a place. I can't remember what the terminology of the when you put like personality and face into like a place or objects and things like that.
Almost like the spirit of the thing around you. And this is something you see even in modern day beliefs, mm-hmm. among different types. The idea of like, well, there's a specific place in the forest that has, it feels holy. There's just something about it. It feels like a holy space or something like that, right?
And a whole by the home world, like they put so much, there's so much longing, there's so much meaning behind the whole community aspect. Like, one day we will all get there. It might not be in my time, it might not be in my children's time, but one day it will be there. It's almost a religious experience, especially like when you're having like the trial sequence and they like have their moments of like call and response, basically like any church service that you might go to.
Yeah.
It's very interesting to see like when something is taken away from you and you feel so robbed of it, that it basically turns into its own spiritual enlightenment in itself.
Do you think that's because so much of what they need to do is based on faith, based on a belief that they will be able to make their future better? And that's the one thing that's really continuing to drive them is a belief. Even though if that belief isn't in a deity or a god or an afterlife or anything like that, it's still a belief. It's not founded on facts. It's founded on personal faith.
Literally, especially with the fact that all the other alien species turned their back on them because they made AI. You're wrong. Everything that bad happened to you, that's on you. And then you also have your own form of demons in the Geth. And then literally you're being chased away. You are nomadic. You can't stay in one place. All you really have is that desire and that hope for that. Otherwise, you might as well just open up the vents and have a good time. Have a good time right now, because tomorrow's not promised.
That's a really interesting analysis of that, Magister, especially that you said tomorrow's not promised. You know, while you were talking about that, I kept thinking that they do treat Rannoch as if it is the promised land. And it is this, you know, city on the hill, so to speak, that so many people have not actually been alive to remember. And yet it's this myth that continues on and on and on that they will return someday. I mean, it ultimately turns out not to be a myth if you do solve the war in their favor or you negotiate peace. But the other thing, which is interesting, is you mentioned them being nomadic. And so in that regard, they are representative of many minority populations throughout history who have been forced out of a place through either genocide or through, you know, forced displacement of some kind of means. And so the Koryans are on this veritable exodus. And yet in the lore, Koryans send out their youngest members on pilgrimages. So, and there's this whole aura of religion surrounding them and what we know about religion in our own world. I mean, even Tali's character design is designed to look like the, I can't remember the name.
The head shawl thing. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. That nuns wear. And, right. and she was supposed to represent that kind of chastity, I believe it was called in one of the art books or something like that.
Virgin Mary is often shown with something draped over her head. Like, that's a very common iconography. Yeah. Turbo's had his hand up. Turbo, you wanted to chime in on this.
I don't know if I'm misremembering, but don't they also have, like, this figure who's gone out and they're waiting for them to come back?
Like some sort of, like, messiah-like character that they're looking for the return?
Like
that.
I could remember, like, there's supposed to be, like, this male figure that made something and is out. I could be misremembering, and they're waiting for him to come back. I could have sworn Tali said something about it.
I don't know. Sam, does that ring a bell?
It doesn't ring a bell to me. Perhaps you're thinking about her father?
No, I could just be, maybe I'm mixing it with some another game, but I could have sworn Tali said something about, like, a kind of like builder guy that left and they're waiting for him to come back to help them get back their planet.
I don't know. Yeah.
The closest thing I can think of that you may be thinking about is from the novels where they send out scouts into, like, the unknown, like the more unknown regions of space to try to find a new home. I think that might be what you're thinking about, but I don't think there's any kind of, like, religious in it, the religion stuff tied to it.
I think I'm remembering maybe now since no one else is remembering, I think I'm probably remembering a different series. And
okay, well, if anyone else remembers anything about this, then feel free to chime in and explain it a little bit more. All right. Man, we've gone through a lot of different topics. We're getting close to the end here. Anybody else want to chime in with anything else we haven't covered yet? I think maybe we're good. I don't know. Sam, you have any other thoughts?
Well, I have tons of thoughts. In fact, we're going to have to make a couple of episodes specifically, you know, looking at religion. Maybe we should invite, you know, Teacup and G-Cup, you know, that they're big on theology. Mm-hmm. We can invite them on some future episodes. But, you know, I had wanted to bring up in chat here, Genesis had shared that one of the Ashley quotes in regards to religion, and you were talking about this, Tom, coinciding, you know, science and exploration with religious beliefs. Ashley saying that she's looking out the window of a spaceship and seeing all of space and the beauty of it all, and saying, how can you not believe? Mm-hmm. And that stands at such odds with a lot of the traditional sci-fi view, was that, you know, look out your window, we're in space, how could you believe in a god, you know?
Right.
And the fact that she's using that as evidence for her belief, you know, how could something so amazing and beautiful not have been created
right
by an intelligent designer?
Yeah, it's the argument from there's our argument from creation. There's the argument of just the way that the world works, the how beautiful it can be and all of these things. And then, of course, there's the counter argument about how, like, well, yeah, it might be beautiful from some perspective, but it's also freaking terrifying and horrific from other perspectives. So it depends. But yeah,
it definitely makes sense, like that viewpoint, because, you know, like kind of you just said, like how stuff is like so perfectly created, how nice it is. Like, we know that life, like us, is well defined, if not like impossible. Mm-hmm. So when you have this many planets that had the perfect conditions for life, it could be hard, like, not to believe that there is something guiding that or creating that life. And you have so many different places that are just flourishing with life that it's made perfectly for them.
Right. Right.
Cue the Reaper horn, because it was the Reapers who were designing and guiding evolution, at least in Mass Effect.
Yeah.
So maybe Ashley worships the Reapers. Shocked YouTuber reaction. Dun, dun, PNG. And that's how we get views on YouTube. You can thank me later.
That's it right there. Well, everybody, thank you for chiming in and sharing your perspectives on this. It is an interesting topic, and it is something there's always a lot of speculation about, because it's not just like a thing you can put your finger on, right? So much of this means so much subjectively to every individual person in different ways. So it's always cool to talk around this stuff. Well, it's time to wrap it up. So let's go back through and feel free to shout out anything that you want to put out into the universe. Tell people about you, a project you're working on or something, or you can just say, you know, glad to be here, that kind of thing. Let's go back through in the order on my screen. We're going to start with Magister. Magister, you got anything you want to share?
Yes, thank you for having me. This is Magister DeVita. If you still working on that Fiverr account, as well as offering services via Discord or any other type of things, if you need assistance with coming up with a character, whether it be for acting or tabletops or even just a regular LARPing, or if you need help with your world building, whether it be fantasy, sci-fi, or just modern day, I'm more than willing to lend some time as a consult to help you build your world and build your characters and build your, or maybe even your religious studies. So, hey, if you're interested, much more, that's Magister DeVita.
Awesome. Yeah. Reach out to Magister for all that stuff. Thanks for being here, man. Ed, you got anything you want to share?
Nope. Just on the Discord. Connie playing Free Mass Effect 2.
Nice. All right. Well, thanks for being here. Scott, you're up next. Do you have anything you want to share?
Just glad to chime in.
Well, glad you're here. Thanks for being here. Turbo, I'm glad you made it. It's good to see you. Oh, you're still muted, though.
I have absolutely nothing.
Nice. All right. As usual. Well, thanks for being here, Turbo. And then Green Wicked Ranger, anything you want to share with the world?
You know, just happy to be here, you know, since I've been gone for quite some absences. But, you know, if you ever want to get up with me, I'm on Discord, Xbox, PlayStation. Always happy to have a good conversation.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us. And then Genesis, you're wrapping us up.
I have two shows part of the network. The Two Girls, One Ship podcast, where we analyze, rate, and review all that the world of video game romances has to offer. And the Cyberpunk Lorecast, where we talk about the foundations of the past, the state of Night City today, and the news of the future for all things cyberpunk.
Yeah, go check out those shows as well, also on the Robots Radio Network. So you can look up whatever podcast you're listening to this on, or you can go to robotsradio.net and find links over there. So thanks, Jen. Sam, it's been another month. This has been super fun again with all these wonderful patrons, and we got to wrap it up. Anything you want to share before we go?
Well, yeah, so I'm still streaming my personal canon playthrough of Mass Effect. That's on Saturdays. But I've also taken up streaming Fallout on Tuesdays.
Yes,
so I've been streaming. I'm playing offline anyway, and I have been for a couple months now. So I figured, you know what? I think people would probably enjoy watching me play.
Watching Preston blow you up multiple times.
Oh, my gosh.
Over and over and over again.
I need to get that grenade launcher away from that maniac, because he killed me like six times in like, I want to say 10 minutes.
Yeah, you were very happy about it. You were not upset at all.
Yeah, no danger close from Preston either. Just, you know, doesn't matter, even if it's a little itty bitty Meyer Lurk hatchling.
Yeah.
It's getting a grenade.
Yep. Yeah. Sam died so many times, he was just cussing all over the place. So I had to hit the no cussing button with my points, my channel points. And then he was like, ah, son of a, I can't say it. And then he was, that was great.
And I failed, by the way. That was a reward for 10 minutes. I was supposed to not curse for 10 minutes and I couldn't do it. So if that's your thing, you know, come by my Twitch.
Yeah.
It's at N7 The Legend. I'm not a cozy streamer. I'm not comfy. I'm vulgar. And I like it that way.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're having fun with that. A lot of people are jumping back into Fallout because of the TV show. And the Fallout Lorecast has exploded. The numbers are ridiculous right now. So we have lots of new people tuning in, which has been wonderful. And who knows? Maybe something like that will happen with Mass Effect one day. Can you imagine a Mass Effect show? That would be freaking awesome. That would be so cool. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for being here, everybody. And you know where my stuff is. Robust@radio.net for my shows and a bunch of other shows on the network. And we'll be back next week with another regular episode. I have a feeling we have more Liara stuff to talk about for some reason. Pretty sure. I think the whole next month might be more Liara.
I was going to say, you know, we're only like halfway through our Liara lore,
yeah.
Believe it or not.
Yeah, I was making a joke. Yeah, we've got at least a few more episodes. But yeah, come back for that stuff. We'll see you soon. And stay safe out there in that crazy, crazy galaxy. And, you know, maybe pray to whatever deities you believe in, because it's a cold, dark place out there. We'll see you all next time. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to the Mass Effect Lorecast. We'd love to hear your opinion and thoughts on the lore of Mass Effect. Reach out to us on Twitter at Mass Effect Cast, or check out the Robots Radio Discord. Also, you can send us an email at masseffectlorecast@gmail.com.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.